Hey, that's me. I recognize that name. Well, partially me. I appreciate your prayers. Some of you prayed for me during my little adventure here. And I have to say that it's coming along. It's going to do whatever it does, and they're going to start cutting away that's not making it, and that's okay. And it's amazing what you can do when you're when you have the determination to do it. When you're kind of like this, and you're by yourself and trying to figure out how to get certain things done, you can be pretty creative, you know what? Necessity, right?
Well, I'm glad you're here. You know, in the past, the way people just like boycott and don't come, I never understood that. Because Jesus is always here, right? I mean, isn't that why we're here? It's for Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, it didn't hurt you a bit, did it? You know, and I know that not everyone's like me. I'm kind of vocal and loud mouth and all that, but I figure that in my life, I've thought about this a lot, and I've never intended to be that way. I'm really a very soft-spoken person, if you want to know the truth. Wow, I just came over to got a big boy voice there for a little bit. But I've always had this timid, soft, mumbling voice, and I never tried to preach boisterous or loud or excited. But even though I'm quiet, I've always been an emotional person. I mean, you know, I feel things, whether it's a sports team or a good accomplishment by a student or whatever it might be. I feel it, and I'm usually pretty boisterous about it, right? You know, you're following your favorite team, and they hit a three-point shot and win the game at the buzzer. We get pretty into it, don't we? Hello? Well, don't you think of everything that exists in all of the universe that the one who has given his life to redeem us from our sins deserves that sense of recognition and excitement in our lives? Now, there are those that make that a false thing. You know, I've been around those people just say, thank you, Jesus, you know, Uncle so-and-so died. Well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm like, now wait a minute, that's not real. Can you praise the Lord in that circumstance? Yes. But it doesn't keep us from our humanity. It doesn't keep us from our hurts and our tears and our pain and all of that. But I think that we would do ourselves a favor by not being afraid to praise the Lord. That wasn't intended. I'll get to it here where I'm going. What do we say when we talk about the church or inviting people to a service? So much of the time we say this is the house of the Lord, right? Now, over the years I've had a little problem with that because people have made the building something it's not supposed to be. And we are the temple of God, right? We're the temple. We house the Spirit of God. He is here. But that's a part of most people's understanding. They think of the church as the house of God. And we invite people here, and have you ever thought what people who have never been in church think, you know, that we're going to come into the presence of the Lord, and then it's just like Melba toast. Hey, my God's not a Melba toast God. My God excites every taste bud. Amen? And He's there in all... Anyway, that's enough of that. And I did that for a purpose. I love the way we're going. I love the direction. Oh, by the way, I could be the only guy that presented himself as a member of the church. I'm now a member of New Life Church of the Nazarene right here in Newburgh. Amen. I didn't say that. It's not like that's a big deal that you got me. You know, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal that I got you guys. But I don't know how many pastors have brought themselves or preachers brought themselves into membership. Pastor Johnson said he was going to mention it last week. He said, don't worry about it. I'll do it myself.
Gary, do you? Yes, I do. Well, the reason I said that is I love the direction that we're going with discipleship. I believe it's not important. I believe it's essential. And I believe it's going to be exciting and to take Pastor Jonathan's messages. And I want to tell you why I'm here. I drive almost an hour to get here. But his messages excite me. They resonate. They touch my spirit. And, you know, you guys know he and I have a close relationship. We've been, I was kind of his mentor for a while, and I love the guy. I love him to pieces. But he's anointed by God, and he's taken a great mind, and he's using it for the purpose of the Lord, and he is feeding you, and he is helping you, and he's getting you to heaven. Amen. And I really enjoy that. And then I'm excited to take his messages and then build and to grow off of them to help enhance our lives. I really believe it's going to be beneficial. And you know what? Now you're not going to have any excuse not to bring unsaved people in. But I want you to think about that. When we bring people in, I've done that. You know, I've gotten new people to come, and I remember that they sat in a different section, and there's a large church, and it's all full, and I'm down there on my knees praying for them to come to the Lord, you know, and nothing happened, and no one was there. But I talked to them later, you know, and they just were crying and said how they were moved. And I got to thinking about it. We sometimes never model the expectation we have for others. In other words, if new people come in and we never use the altar, how do they know what to do? That's just not something innate that's born in people. That's something that we model. Amen? So don't ever be afraid to use the altar. And I wore the altar out with my people in my churches because this is not a place to get saved. This is a place where we can see ourselves as God sees us, and we can continually allow Him to grow and to mature and develop our lives. Amen? And sometimes it's just good to have other people pray around you and lay their hands on you. I always laid hands on people because I believe we are God's hands and feet. That might be biblical. And if that's true, then God wants us to show the expression of His love through us. You got it? And there's nothing wrong with that. And then there's a sense that if I step out, there's that sense of accountability. I'm now accountable to you guys. Amen? And so let's just learn to be free and open. Maybe it's just me, but I enjoy that. Anything I go to, I want to kind of get into it. You know it? If I go somewhere and I'm outside, I've gone to concerts in the park or the riverfront or other places, you know, if I'm into it, I'm into it. Amen? Okay, enough of the crazy man. 1 Corinthians, this is going to be the word for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm just going to start off with this section of the message, chapter verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. We've got it up there. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Now, I've seen people that felt like they could, you know, they just, every little mistake, everything they did, well, I'm not a Christian now. And they wrote themselves out and threw themselves away. And I think that sometimes that has been the mistake of over the years of preaching that was well intended, but maybe was not spot on biblically. We've had a tendency not to understand grace in our tribe over the years. And God knows that you're human. Did you know that? He knows that. And nothing that you do is like a da-da moment to God. He is not shocked and caught off guard and surprised. He knows you. I think that grace is... I can't explain it to you, except that this scripture helps us to understand. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Why? I kind of got a little... I love Steph Curry, that he's a Christian, and that he talks about his faith publicly. I don't know if you're a Warriors fan, doesn't matter, but I appreciate anybody who's talented and willing to show their faith. Do I have to ask you to amen that?
Amen.
Okay, good, thank you. It started out, his mother gave him scriptures when he was in college or even in high school, but it started in college, where he would write the scripture verse. She gave him her favorite verse, and he liked it, and he wrote it on his shoes, and then he began to do that. Every pair of shoes, he'd write a scripture verse on his shoes. That's pretty cool, right? Well, he took the contract that he has for his shoes now, they have on them, and he wears them on the court and says, "I can do all things." Amen? Now, we know the rest of that, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, I got to thinking about this, and I know he's not intended that, but this is what this verse means. You know, does anybody remember what it's like to be saved? When you got saved? Give me a show of hands. Do you remember what it's like when you got saved? Amen? Come on. And not everybody is an emotional basket case like me, so maybe it was something that you just matured and grew into, but I believe that we have to be spiritually born again. I want to make that clear. You will not intellectually develop into a Christian. There has to be a moment in time where you ask God, the God of the universe, to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and to realize that your only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's not through a higher power. It's not to the man upstairs. And it's not just praise to God. It's specifically to Jesus Christ. He is the avenue that the triune God chose to come down and to take on our humanity and become us, enter the human arena at just the right time, and offered up Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. The unsinly became sinful. That's a big deal. The holy became human in order to die for our sins. And if we ever get past that, the reason I wanted you to think about that or to just remember that, wow, I don't know about you, but that was a duh moment for me. That was when I walked out. I'm not kidding you. I mean, for days, the grass looked greener, the sky looked bluer, the birds sounded more beautiful. I was still helping out on the farm some more. That was before God had called me into the ministry. And I'm telling you, I'd look up at the clouds and I'd just think, wow, I just don't know any time. I just wish Jesus would step out up there and I could see Him. I mean, I literally had that sense of excitement. And I kept that for a long time. And, I don't know how to say this, Charles, except to say it. I think the church beat that out of me. Now, it wasn't God's fault, but I let the ministry burn me to death at both ends. I was going to build a church come Hades or high water. You hear the problem and all that, but the reason it grew is because I had to learn in the process that I couldn't do it. I got humbled, I got knocked down. I get knocked down all the time. God must really want to, you know, keep me sharp. No, God doesn't cause stuff like this. Amen? Just part of life. People think that, oh, why did God take... You know what? God never killed anybody. Death came into the world through sin. Do you believe that? Isn't that biblical? God can't bring sin into anyone's life. God doesn't kill anyone. Yeah, but pastor, it's appointed... There's a time appointed to die. No, the Scripture says it's appointed once unto man to die. It never says anything about an appointment. Why am I getting off on that tangent? Because I want you to understand this morning, above anything else, that the only right we have to come to God is through Jesus Christ and His marvelous grace. Amen? Now, this sounds like it's an irony. It's almost an oxymoron.
But the more religion and the more outward holiness that we try to portray in our lives, the greater chance that we have of being caught right up here in verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Because when you become reliant on yourself to please God and to be a big deal and to make God think that you're the most righteous, wonderful person on the face of the earth, you will very quickly get your eyes off of Jesus and get your eyes on your performance-based religion. I got something in my craw about that. And you know what it is? I never really felt that in my heart, but I had it pounded into my brain, almost brainwashed, and I helped proclaim that junk for a long time. You know what I got to thinking about one time? It's kind of like, you know, I get saved and I'm saved by faith through grace and not of myself, lest anyone should boast. Is that real? Is that really in the Bible? And then what we do is that then we see all these rules and regulation and the way it should be and what we're supposed to be. And we start thinking, you know, God's going to be more pleased with me if I stop doing A and start doing B. You know what that looks like to God? God has given His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And if I had two hands, I'd jump up here on this altar. I know it's sacrilegious, but I'd do it anyway. It's not sacrilegious, right? This is a piece of furniture. It's a symbol, but it's a piece of furniture. None of this is anything without the Spirit of God moving in our hearts and lives. And by what we don't do or what we think we're doing, we constrain ourselves, we beat ourselves to death. We have choked. Well, the other reason that I'm attending here is because I did the same thing. I figured out people weren't listening to two messages in one day from me. They didn't understand the first one, let alone a second one to confound them, not by my brilliance, but by my rattling on. And so I thought, let's go to one service a day. But we took that time and started a small group that helped people with trying to, It's kind of a celebrate recovery service. It wasn't totally all built on their type of service, but we used the same Bible, same material. A couple started it. They couldn't even look up at me. And now that's probably has kept that church going down even today as they'll have a service once a month and have 200 people in that recovery service. And we allow them to take Sunday night and do something to actually help somebody. But over the years, we have choked people and killed people in church by what you do in the church. And, you know, we're more spiritual if we're up front or performer or if we're in this office or we do that. And the more you do, the more we'll let you do until we take your family time and all of your free time. And people over the years of my church, they've wanted to win people to God, but they don't know anybody that's lost because we told them to stay away from lost people like they have the plague, right? That's exactly what we did. And there's a time I kind of had to get away from the crowd because, I was wild. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And I had to get away from those temptations. But the worst thing I ever did was begin to pull away and isolate myself from them. I should have remained their friends and I should have hung out with them. And I should have told them that I didn't start going to church or that I got religious. I remember when I first got saved, well, I'm going to church now. That had nothing to do with it. I should have told them I have fallen in love with Jesus and He's changed my life. And He hasn't changed my life by what I don't do. You want to know how this verse carries over in everyday? I'm really struggling to get to where I'm going, brother. I'm not having a struggle because I believe the Lord's leading me there, but I had something good I wanted to share with you, and maybe I'll get to part of it. You see,
I mentioned Steph Curry, I can do all things. And that's almost how we get in our Christian life. Look what I don't do. Look what I can do. Instead of just standing back and saying, I'm nothing. I can't. You see, that's what God wants to hear. It's not how strong you are, but He wants to hear how strong He is. And that's really the heart of this message this morning. As we begin to look at this, I wanted to talk to you about the manna test. About not grumbling. I had something cool I was going to read to you, but I've already ate that time up. And I'm going to turn to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And believe it or not, I had a purpose, and it's all going to fall together this morning. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. If I would go ahead and have read all that in chapter 10 in 1 Corinthians, you would have seen that what this is talking about is the story of the children of Israel. As they begin to go through the desert, God begins to provide them with manna from heaven. You trust me to just share the story? We're going to pick up certain verses, but I'll kind of fill in the rest of it along the way. Brother, take me to... Oh, you couldn't do it. It wouldn't let you load it. See how the... Isn't that crazy? The old enemy tries to fight all the time, you know. Exodus wouldn't load in the computer. Now, isn't that weird? But this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is just highlighting the events that happened in Exodus chapter 16, where it's talking about the children of Israel begin to go in the desert. Now think about this for a little bit. They cross the Red Sea. They see the Egyptian army perish. The chariots go upside down in the water. And they're free. They cross over. They have the gold and silver of the Egyptians with them. It looks like everything's going great. We know they don't get very far at all. And they build an idol of gold. And they begin to murmur and want to go back. And you know, Moses comes down the mountains. He breaks the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And he goes up and God gives them, cuts them out again. And he goes down. And they're put in the Ark of the Covenant, but continually the people grumble. Now they begin to grumble, you know. Well, at least in Egypt we had pots of food, and we were fed all the time. They were used as slaves. They made bricks out of mud and straw. We see the great construction of the pyramids and other great structures. And by the way, you never hear it on the news, but archaeologists have found a giant city where over a million people inhabited, and the utensils of that city were the utensils of Hebrew people. Now, isn't that amazing? They begin to grumble, at least we had food there, and all the time we wish we'd have stayed in Egypt. You know what? Some people are like that. They'd rather be a slave and have the comfort than they would go out and be free. That's the way it is spiritually. That's Satan's greatest temptation in your heart, is that you want the ease of things in life and you will sell it out. You will stay a slave to sin and this world in order to have the good things in life. Now, you think that this message isn't applicable? I'm telling you it is. Manna was good. Amen. God gave them a bread-type substance. It was more than bread. It was manna. Manna provided every nutrient and everything they needed. And yet, they begin to grumble. I'm just going to paraphrase through this. They begin to grumble and murmur and complain. It wasn't very long that manna wasn't enough. And God, we need something more. We need meat to sustain ourselves. And God heard their grumbling. You see, there's problems about grumbling. Things we grumble about. We grumble about our circumstance. We grumble about things. Amen. We grumble about people. Now, let me tie in the rant I did earlier about the things we do and don't do that we think we're pleasing God. Amen? I want to tell you, if Jesus put His Son on the cross to die for your sins, your sacrifice up there isn't worth 2 cents. And I don't know why we got to keep thinking all the time we got to add to it. We put so much pressure on ourselves, and I've seen so many people. Did you know the mortality rate in the church is about 60%? It's actually now closer to 75% of the people who start out serving the Lord give up, quit, throw it away, and go back into the world. Hey, if over here at one of these hospitals around us, the mortality rate of newborn infants was over 50%, there would be an investigation out of this world, right? We don't seem to be too concerned about it in the church. That's why I like that you're trying to do something about it. You're trying to disciple people to set it up so that God will help give you people. I told you earlier, I tried to kill myself growing churches, and did the churches grow? Yes. But they didn't grow until I gave up, until I stopped, until I told God I couldn't, until I bore myself in tears before Him, and people started joining me and praying and asking for God to do something. And then all of a sudden it took off, and people say, "What are you doing over there? How's that happening?" And I gave them the great answer, "I don't know." I went to a conference, they were talking about church growth, and these guys from Grow Magazine, they were writing articles about this. And one of my fellow pastors, and you fellow pastors usually don't do this because there's such a jealousy, and that is ludicrous. Amen? Okay, I got to throw in something else too. We say we love lost people, right? I mean, we love the lost. You know what I want to say? Really? We don't even like each other. Come on. I mean, that group over there, they just get crazy and they're just screaming all the time and that's just all emotional. That group over there, they've got this great big church, but they're not winning anybody. That's just a social club. And then we do it within our own tribe. Oh, that tribe there, when you guys started this church, I know, I understand. When I started Unfinished, you won't believe what I got. Anyway, people don't like it. We don't like each other. So how can we say we love the lost? And I want to tell you something. Our churches won't grow. God won't give us lost people until we can love each other. And we can't love each other until we love ourselves. And we can't love ourselves until we understand God's not real impressed with me. That I'm not all that in a bag of chips, but Jesus is. Why do you see me up here with my hands up and I cry and I'm yelling out amen or praise the Lord? Because I understand that I am saved by faith through grace. Amen? And I don't deserve it. And every time I see an empty cross, I want to celebrate. Amen? Not only Jesus is not on it, He rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, but several years ago, I got off this crazy thing myself. Amen? And I got free. And until you do that, guys, that's the essence of holiness. This is a story that they're grumbling, murmuring, complaining. Now, there's something about complaining I want you to understand. First of all, the Lord hears it. The Lord heard their grumblings, it says in Exodus, the first part of verses 7, 8, 9, and 11. The Lord heard their grumbling. He personalized it to them specifically. That's why later on in the chapter He gave them quail of an evening. They had manna of a morning and quail of an evening. Now, I want to tell you something. They thought they needed quail, but they didn't need it. That's just some burden they added to themselves together to clean, to cook. Right? Am I right? Charles, you're a hunter. Somebody help me out. You don't have to do a whole lot with manna. I had a lady from Eastern Kentucky that was at New Albany first when I went first went there as a youth pastor and now went back to be the pastor. And she had taught herself to read out of the Bible. Now, she didn't say a lot of words like. She was talking about this scripture. She said, I just love it where the Lord gave that mayonnaise from heaven. And a lot of people wouldn't laugh at her, but she could stand up and testify and people would flock to the altar. She had the presence of God. She had won more people in that community and brought them into the church than any combination of five pastors. She preached at the jail. She preached at the hospital. She went anywhere and everywhere. Pastor Gurry. Tall, strong woman. She wasn't always gentle. A guy tried to rob her purse. She had a shoulder, strap on her purse. And some guy that was pretty built ran by there and he grabbed the purse. And when it got to the end, she took her hand and knocked him to the ground. She was rough and rugged, but you know what? She was one of the Lord's most chosen people I've ever seen in my life. You know why? Because she didn't have anything, but she had everything. You see, when we get full of ourselves, we got to be careful. I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. He said, then you'll know He does it. You know why the Lord does things for us? That I am the Lord your God in order that He might get the glory. But you see, the more things that seem to be added to our life, the more complicated our life gets. I'm telling you, the manna had everything. But the time they took to clean and to cook the quail, and, we're talking about probably 2 million people that were wandering in the desert. To gather it up, think about it. You see, sometimes less is more. Am I making any sense, church? God's just looking for people with an open heart. He doesn't want you because you're all that. He doesn't want you because of what you can perform and what you can do. And for musicians and worship leaders, sometimes it's a heavy load. We begin to feel that we have this extra responsibility. And we do, as a preacher, I have an extra responsibility. But the real truth is we all have to do the same thing, is that I can't do it. And I don't want people to see me. I want people to see Christ. Amen? And that's why I want us to worship. You know what? The more you worship, the more pressure you take off of the praise team, because now you are a part of the praise team. Woo! They're just leading you in worship. They're not the worshipers. We're the worshipers, right? They're leading us as a team of believers that have gathered together specifically at a set time to come in and say, I am nothing without Jesus. He is my everything. He has paid the price for my salvation. He deserves my love and my devotion. Like guys, it's kind of like we do at Valentine's Day. Man, we bring in the flowers and the candy hearts and the diamonds and the gifts and all the goodies and the cards, and we say we think about what to write. Guys, if you don't think about what to write in the card, shame on you. We do all that, and it's a big deal, right? Don't we appreciate it? Ladies, men, don't we appreciate it when our spouse or our children or our parents does something to take a special day and to say, man, I love you. I don't want you to not realize that I love you to pieces. Don't you appreciate that? Well, I tell you what, you better love them just the same the rest of the day, though. What I'm trying to say, church isn't the time that we come in to love God. But churches, the church is Valentine Day. Really, it's not fair because once a week isn't enough. Every day there should be times that you have a Valentine moment with Jesus. You see, it's that big a deal. He's not a way, He's the way. I know this wouldn't happen. I may have used this in the last message, but I want you to get this. We're in heaven, right? We're all in heaven together. This ain't going to happen. So this is a crazy theoretical thinking in my mind. Would you put up with that for a moment? If Jesus were to leave heaven, I have no right to stay. I would have to leave also. Amen? When I get there, I'm given a crown of salvation. And what do we do with it, church? We kneel and we cast it at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because it's not mine. It's His salvation. Right? I receive His salvation. And His grace carries me until the time He makes me whole and perfect. It's not going to be perfect here. Sometimes we preach a message that nobody could live up to. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to make it easier for you to talk to people about Jesus. You're not the one that's got to save them. You're not the one that has to make sure they stay with it. It's not your job to be the Holy Spirit. That's a whole new another message. The church trying to be the Holy Spirit. It's our job to be Jesus and to love people. To love the lost. And you can't do, you know, what can I do? Shut up and get out of the way. And just get there and start loving people, and God will give you the words and the grace. And His Spirit, if it's on us, guess what? It'll ebb through. Amen? And people will know. It's time, church. Let's be Jesus. Amen? Let's quit condemning. Let's quit being critical. Let's quit being judgmental. Let's just start loving people. I want to tell you something. You got a wonderful young pastor. But can I tell you something? One of these days, if he stays here long enough and makes enough decisions, he'll make some wrong ones. You know, our churches used to vote on a pastor every 2 years. And we moved him around like crazy. Why? Because they saw the pastor was human and made some errors in judgment. Well, go home and look in the mirror if you want to see somebody that makes errors in judgment. Do you want to be stood up and judged for the decisions you make in your daily life? This is our job. We have a burden. We're trying to make decisions. We're trying to honor God. But sometimes we grumble and murmur and complain. And sometimes we get quail when we don't need it. But that's not a moral... That's not a moral issue. Amen? And if our pastors make mistakes, shouldn't we be the people that love them in spite of their mistakes? I love you guys. I can see that you're helping mold Pastor Jonathan's life. And I want to tell you, he's a jewel. He has been since he was a teenager. this isn't a fake thing. You know, evangelists go in, well, Pastor so-and-so, he's great. Or generals will come in, they'll talk about the district leaders and their wives like they're all that in the, you know. And they don't even know them. I'm telling you, I know this young man. And he is a godly. The reason he is because the gifts and abilities that he has, he never sees that. He's humble. And he's open to let Jesus work through him. And you can't ask for any more than that. You know what? Even if he asks for quail, go along and let's pull the feathers off the quail and help him out. Amen? Manna might have been enough, but if he gets into a quail, a covey of quail, let's help him out. And if the Lord's leading him, he'll start throwing the quail away and go back to the manna. You know, churches, we do that. We go through cycles. No matter what we do in this building, no matter what program we create, it's nothing until we get back to the reality that only the Spirit of God can change a person's life and make them new. And everybody deserves that opportunity. Amen? Everybody deserves to be loved where they're at. Amen? The Lord hears our grumble. He adds to it. He sees us through that season. And He's always got something good for us. I want to tell you this morning, God loves you. Did you know that? You're all that in a bag of chips. If He had your picture, it'd be on His refrigerator, Max Licato says. Would you stand with me? We're going to take time to just praise the Lord and have a time that we can gather around the altar if you want to. I love the way Pastor does it. If you want to pray over an issue, you can come over here. If you want salvation into your life, you can come over here. I want to tell you what, I don't know anybody that's not been over here more than once. It's not because the Lord's grace isn't sufficient. It's because we declare it's not. We shut it off. We undo it. Amen? There's never any humiliation at an altar prayer. There's only love and grace and forgiveness. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You. We're so depending upon You, God. We want what You want. We really do. We've all been guilty of, Lord, we just want to please You. Sometimes in our desire to please You, we get in the way. And then it becomes about us. And then we get proud of how much Scripture we're reading, how many minutes we're praying, and how many things we're doing for the church. Then sometimes when those things don't get recognized, we get hurt, we get discouraged, we get bitter, and we hurt people we don't aim to. Yeah, we're the church. We're human. But You know that. You sent the grace of Your Son. It's enough. It's more than enough to lead us into all truth. Paul said that we're to die daily. We're to examine our lives every day. That our growth in holiness is an experience that will never end until we're face to face with You. Be with Pastor Jonathan and Sarah. Lord, just anoint their time away. And then bring them back refreshed and excited. And help us to lift them up. And Lord, help us to, in our personal lives, get some of the stuff out of the way and just start loving people where they're at. And just maybe, not because of what we don't do, but because of how we love, someone will find you. Now, Lord, we bless our fellow believers and ask your grace and mercy be with us and help us to represent you, be an ambassador to the gospel, be a disciple, a follower who will bring others with them. In Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen.